Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are continuing our series on tithing versus giving. And just as a reminder, to visit our website at weekendprepare.org. And sign up at FreeBurner to receive all our updates and our regular blog postings. We're making some changes behind the scenes, and you'll want to keep updated on that. And we're looking at how long it's going to take, hopefully not too long, to set up the webinars that we want to start being able to do, make it a little bit more user-friendly for all concerned and also interactive, as well as being content-driven. I want to be able to present video as well as the audio, make it a little bit easier to understand. So we're going to take full advantage of what the web can offer and not just rely on these kinds of services, as great as they are, but we want to be able to expand it a little bit more. Rather than just talk, we want to be able to teach and then implement it. See, this is what it looks like. So practical application of what we're learning. So be sure to stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be exciting and helpful, and I think I'm going to enjoy it, and hopefully you will too. So we've been continuing on in our series on tithing versus giving. Again, our focus is on what the scriptures say. If you use the scriptures to support either your practice or your views on tithing, we want to look at specifically what the scriptures say. Now, many people either do tithe or don't tithe for no reason that's related to the scriptures. And you'll probably get something out of this as well, because what we're looking at is the distinction between a Christian and everyone else. Where you're not a believer just because you believe the Bible. It's, do you know God? And how you approach this subject is very often an indicator of where you're coming from. If you are able to hear God for the questions and the subject matter we're talking about, odds are you're going to be able to hear him for a lot of other areas. And just as a reminder, this is important to God. Your finances are important to God because they're important to you. How we handle our finances, our money, our resources, is important to God because they are important to us. They are how we, our stuff, our things, our time, all of our resources can be our distraction or they can be our gift. And we want to be able to hear from God how we're doing in those areas. This is one of the main ways he draws our attention and gets our attention to him and teaches us what we need to learn to rule and reign here on this earth now. And that's the final goal. It's not to build his kingdom. The kingdom is built. We're entering into it. And as a son of God, you've already inherited it. So you don't need to achieve anything. You don't need to keep anything. You don't need to keep God's blessing or his pleasure in you. You've inherited it. So as you more and more rest in that, odds are the more and more busy you will be, because you will be more and more available to God. Now there's good positive sides and negative sides to that. Because the more you're available to him, the more opportunity he will take in interfering with your self life, with your soul life. And you will more and more find yourself interacting with him. And when he finds you available, he has so much he wants to share with you that all the things that you used to think were so important to you will fall by the wayside. Again, there's upsides and downsides to that. Is you will have to make changes. Others around you will have to make changes. And very often, those that will be the most resistant to that change are those that are closest to you. When you start becoming free, free from law, free from the opinions of others, very often that is not appreciated by those who were putting so much effort into controlling you. And sometimes if you're free, it means they could be free. They don't have to live the way they live. And a lot of people resent that. A lot of people don't want to be free, and they don't want you to be free either. What's that saying? Misery loves company. Well, you may have to give up company if you want to be free, but it's worth it. So go for it. But we do want to continue our series on tithing versus giving. And what we mean by that, just as what we've been looking at is the law has been fulfilled, and we are now in a totally different relationship to finances. And the scriptures are very, 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 very clear about who should be tithing. And it's not us. You and I are now givers. If we've been born of the Spirit, if we are spirit beings now, our new nature is to give. Not when you feel like it, not when you think you should, not when there's a need. And that's kind of where we ended up last week, talking about responding to needs when supporting the ministry. Is so many are supporting a ministry because that's what they've been told to do, or that's where they feel they should be giving, they should be tithing, they should be putting their money out there to pay back God, and that particular ministry is where they're what they're a part of, so that's what they give to. Or because look at all the good things that are done, you know, this, you know, the church is reaching out to the poor and the homeless, and you know, has outreaches in different countries, and look at all the good that it's doing. That may be true. That's none of your business. Your business is what is God saying to you? A need does not constitute a call. You and I are not to be need-based. We are not to be easily manipulated through our emotions. Everybody's got a sob story. And you're not doing these people any favors. You're certainly not doing so many ministries. So many ministers are not there to minister either to God or to you. And I hate to say that, but this is by personal experience and by, you know, I'm sure you've experienced it too. When you look at, and we'll talk about this later, when you look at all the loopholes in tax law, that it is so easy to make a living without even knowing God by being a pastor, by having a church, because of the beliefs of so many Christians and because of the beliefs that are perpetrated for that reason. It's like if a vacuum cleaner salesman came into your house and wanted to convince you that if you did not use their vacuum cleaners to clean your carpet, your carpets would be dirty. And if your carpets were dirty, you are a bad person. You're a bad mother if your carpets aren't clean. And the only way your carpets are going to be clean is if you buy their vacuum. Would you be suspicious of that? I would hope so. I would hope you wouldn't just say, oh my gosh, you're right. If I don't buy your vacuum cleaner, I'm a bad person. I would hope you'd be suspicious of that. Well, we very often just leave our brains, leave our good sense, our filters at the door when we walk in a church or when we listen to a ministry, when we listen to a teaching, anything, or read something. We need to be mature, not only just not just as Christians, but as beings who live on this earth. Don't believe what you see, what you read. Test it. What is from God will stand up to all scrutiny, to all questions. So many Christians are taught, don't question, just have faith. Well, fortunately, I learned long, long, long time ago, God wants us to question everything because you have to have the answers for yourself. And he wants to answer them. So we've been talking about providing for the ministry and how very often we, just by continuing to give, continuing to support a ministry or a church, God may not be in it. And he may have, he may have been in it and have left. And those involved in it are keeping it going because the money's still there. Regardless of how they get it, but because they can still continue to make a living doing it, they will keep it going because they will read into it that, well, if God didn't want us to continue, the money wouldn't be coming in. And so God may have withdrawn his hand, but because we continue to give, they continue to pursue the wrong path. So we can inadvertently hurt those God is trying to deal with. And we'll look at the downside for us personally when we do that, but the point being that we don't look at the need. We don't look at, or we don't look solely at what it's being used for. So we concluded that there's two reasons to give. And the first being that this is that God tells you, or you find yourself giving. And again, this is not tithing, this is giving. And the second is you want to give and you ask God if it's okay and he says go for it. So it's not about a need. It's not about your responsibility to provide for this person or that person, and we're going to get into that. But being careful of your resources. You take care of it. You don't squander it. Now, you probably walk around with either a purse or a wallet, and it has money in it, whether they're credit cards or your debit card or your change or dollar bills or whatever you happen to be carrying around. What if you went into, you know, as you walk down the street, you just started giving money away? You gave the next person you saw your credit card. You gave the next person you saw your debit card. The next person your checkbook. And then the next, all your change, and the next, all your, you know, one bill after another to every single person you met. Pretty soon, you wouldn't have anything. And then God will bring you to the one person that he wanted you to give it all to. And you'll have nothing. And you won't be able to do the one thing that God wants you to do. Because you were doing what you wanted to do. without checking with him first. Now, God wants us to learn to use our own judgment, and he wants us to enjoy giving. So he wants us to want to give. But it's important that we learn to ask him first and then respond as he directs, but knowing that it's a resource we need to learn to govern and have control over. A great place to start is, you know, we think so often that we should give because someone needs it. And this is really what Paul was talking about. He was pointing out that Peter, when Peter came through, and so many of the other ministers in Corinth, they brought their families with them. So the church felt obligated to take care of them. But because Paul and Barnabas were single guys, they didn't feel they needed to take care of them because they went to work. So they had an occupation. They were tent makers. Now, again, Paul was rich. He didn't need to work. And we find out when you look at the verse, his letter says, that he was working to shame them because they were relying on the reason to be to give by the need and not by what they got out of it. Peter ministered to the church in Corinth and deserved compensation based on the ministry. Not because he was married, not because he had his kids with him, not because he had a need, but because he served them and they should have paid for that service. But Paul did the same thing. He ministered to them, but they chose not to support him because he was single and he could get a part-time job to support himself while he ministered. That's what Paul was pointing out. Not that it was a good idea for pastors to be working on the side, or ministers to be working on the side. But if you're receiving a good service, you should pay for it. That's the bottom line. When you go to a restaurant, you don't pay for it and leave a tip based on how many kids the cook has, or how much in debt the owner of the restaurant is, how high, if his rent was jacked up there. You pay for the food as it was served to you, and you leave a tip based on the service. You, generally speaking, we don't know behind the scenes how far in debt. If maybe this is too much, maybe they're overcharging. That's not how we decide how much we pay for it. We pay for what we've agreed to, and then for the service we pay extra. So why is it that we are so easily manipulated when it comes to supporting churches and ministries and even charities? So now that gets us into, then what about caring for the needy? That's very clear throughout the scriptures. And it's very clear both before the law, during the law, and now, that that is something that Christians and spirit beings should be paying attention to, is taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. But what we'll find is it's, again, a lot simpler than it seems, and it follows along with the same approach. So we're going to go back to reading specifically what do the scriptures say, and we're still in 1 Corinthians. What specifically, so that's Paul, what does Paul say? God says, you know, God, here Paul is speaking for God. He's saying, this is what God says. about caring for those in need. The poor and needy should be cared for. But how this is done is directed on a personal level by the one who knows the needs best, the Holy Spirit. Okay, spirit to spirit. So we're going to read through 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, caring for those in need. And again, we're going to look for the simplicity rather than the complexity. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. This may at first sound like a command or legalism, but the word orders here is translated in other ways. And this, again, we want to look at, okay, what is the, what, you know, not, we don't look at people's motives, but we will look at the behaviors and the actions. In other words, when someone is telling you you have to do something, what do they get out of it? Not why do they do it, but are they getting something out of it? Is there a reason they're telling you something? So let's just look at different translations. First, the NASB. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. The King James says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And then NIV, now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. Really, all we can conclude was that Paul didn't want to have to worry about collecting when he got there. And since the churches at Galatia had already apparently sought direction, he told the Corinthians the same thing he had told them. So he's not laying out an order. He's not saying, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to, on a weekly basis, put aside this, that, and the other thing and make sure it's ready. And, you know, it was that another church had said, how should we do this? How should we take care of those within the body in other areas, geographical areas, how do we do this? And he had told them, well, gather it all up together, and either you can send someone with it or I'll come by and pick it up. And all he's doing is telling the church at Corinth the exact same thing. So, unfortunately, this has become, this section has been portrayed as Paul giving a commandment, making a law, saying, this is something you must do. And all he's doing is relaying what he has told the church at Galatia about. And it's just wisdom. It's just a way of giving order so that the resources can go to other those in need. He didn't say, well, I'm the only one who can take it. It's however you want to do it, but do it in order. So this is how those in need were met that were outside the geographical area. We've already seen in other, without talking about tithing or giving, we've already seen how by exercising their new nature as givers, we see the example of Stephen and so many other places where we know that their needs were to care for one another, and it was never denominationally. And we could get into the history of this sometime. We won't even start today. But the history of the church, what we think of, you and I are experiencing right now as church, is not bears no resemblance at all to the first century church, the second century church, the third century church. Absolutely none. And if we tried to do it today, we would be ostracized. And that's fine, because our goal is not to go back to another century. Our goal is to find out what God is training for us today, right now. And this leads us to probably the most crucial statement about giving that we must grasp as a part, as a description of our new nature. And Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 9. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. First, there's the let, and then the as he purposes in his heart. It's not you must give as someone else dictates or as someone shares a need, but let each one, not that church or this church or this group or that group, but each one give as he purposes in his heart. There's no manipulation there, and we need to get over that. We need to get over being swayed by our emotions. We all have that problem. We all have that challenge. Because we all are, you know, even though we have emotions, we aren't emotional beings. But they can be so strong because the needs are horrendous out there in all different ways, shapes, or forms. There's always going to be a need. As Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. But if you give it all, you will have no resources left to accomplish what God wants you to do, the one thing that God wants you to do, because you've given a dollar here and a dollar there, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. When God wants you to spend an hour there, you won't have any time left. You won't have any resources left. So we want to look at then, how do we give? And we're going to go through how to do that, what Paul says in standing in for God about letting each one give as he purposes in his heart. And we're going to read through the scriptures. We'll start that today, and we'll pick it up there next Saturday. So let's start with 2 Corinthians 9, and it's going to be 1 through 15. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So there's the distinction right there. You are now a giver. You are generous, and you are not obligated. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. Again, if you've got any questions, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Again, this is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.